You know, Red, I have always assumed that you were just completely smooth down there.
Moving buildings. Flying. New things. The river crossing. Oh, no.
Over the sea.
Horses over the sea.
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones game.
Sean Bean dies.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boars, Gore, and Swords.
The third best podcast that is five seasons late to a show.
Today we are covering Vikings, the show on the History Channel. We're covering a History Channel show? We're covering a History Channel show when it just entered seasons five, and we're talking about season one, episode one?
Yeah, people have been, I would say clamoring is the exact verb that describes what people have been doing for us to watch this show. And let me tell you guys, you were right to clamor.
Yeah, it was the correct emotion. So yeah. Admittedly, when this first came out, when it was a more appropriate time, people were like, hey, watch this. And we were like, this is the first wave of Game of Thrones ripoff shows.
I wanted to get into that because this is maybe the most successful of the first wave of Game of Thrones ripoffs.
Yep.
I think it might be the only real successful one.
Yeah, and so I had no idea that it could possibly be good. So when then I saw like shots of it, and I was like, they have not nailed the cleavage technology that they have in Game of Thrones, so I'm not immediately compelled to go see this show. And so I just happened to be looking at the IMDb page for what are the most popular TV shows to look about on IMDb. And at the time, Vikings was top three, obviously, because the new season came out. But still, that's huge for a show that is basically a partnership with the History Channel and something like Zenoscope. I think that's just the production company.
the Swedish National Television Broadcasting Corporation.
Yeah, something like that. And so we decided to finally watch it, and I was completely blown away.
As was I. First of all, I did not expect that there was a Skarsgård in it, and that all of the Skarsgårds are related.
Yeah.
That blew me the fuck away. That Stellan Skarsgård and is the father of both Bill, Gustav, and Alex, who are all fairly reputable television and movie actors. It was like, wow, Sweden truly does have equality. All of these children were able to get into their same father's occupation.
Alex Skarsgård is the only one who has a name that might pass as not in a Swedish metal band.
Mm-hmm. They're very Swedish metal band.
Everybody else. If you've ever wanted the history of Swedish metal bands, well, boy, oh boy, have we found the show for you.
Another fun Scandinavian acting fact. Gustav Skarsgård's godfather is Peter Stormare.
No. That's not true.
Is.
That's the thing you made up right now.
No, I am not making
You're
that
making
up.
Up facts.
Absolutely true.
This.
It is absolutely true. Stellan Skarsgård and Peter Stormare are such good friends that he made him the godfather of his child, Gustav.
This is just more fake news coming from Ivan Hernandez.
Excuse me, in Sweden, it's called Fage Nusi.
So I have a question. So when you're watching Game of Thrones in your mind, because obviously it's an alternative fictional universe. It's not actually Earth. But what year is it?
Oh, what year is Game of Thrones?
Yes. In my mind, I always go.
I'm going to say it's one of those like triple number years.
Oh, you think so?
Like 978.
So that's actually closer to what I thought. Because I thought about 1100, 1150 is how I felt. Like creeping up on sort of the modern era of history, but still like in that weird, I'm going to call it dark age. So when we see that this takes place in 793 AD, it felt like 300 or 400 years earlier. I felt like... I felt like the technology hadn't advanced as much. They didn't have magical realms yet. There's a lot of things. This is the show Vikings, and it opens up with Bloody McPoyle with blue eyes. I'm going to say...
I wish there was a McPoyle in this. I honestly, at this point, I don't feel comfortable watching a prestige drama that doesn't feature a McPoyle.
And And I'm very heartened because this came out after Game of Thrones, so I assume they're going to fix the problems that Game of Thrones has with its representation of people of color.
I think that this might be one of the few situations where an absolute lack of people of color might be somewhat realistic. I mean, listen, the Moors were already in Europe by this time.
The Moors were already in Europe. No, this is one of those things where, like, people... are always like, no, like, it doesn't make sense in this situation. And this time you're like, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Listen, they still haven't gotten to England yet.
No.
They're still like, who are these magical white people?
So it opens on a pretty great battle scene. And so what they, you know, Game of Thrones, even on HBO, with $400 trillion as their budget, still has problems with major battles, figuring out how to portray them in a way where it only uses up 80% of the budget. And obviously, I don't know what the budget was for the show. I'm guessing $400.
Listen, it is the History Channel.
So, I mean,
I feel like a lot of these, like, sets are just, like, recreation sets that they got from the other docudrama History Channel shows.
What I think is they funded this show by having and simultaneously had the actors get into character by forming raid camps on Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones prop department is like, oh, the Vikings took another bunch of swords today.
Also, they scalped Larry.
Oh, you don't even want to know what they did to Christine.
But so what they did, so, you know, Game of Thrones always fights with that. But they do, you know, they save it up for one big battle. They did the thing in the first season where they knocked Tyrion out so they didn't have to show the battle. What they do here... And it's pretty effective. Obviously, they won't be able to do this forever. Is they show them in the extreme end of a battle. So a battle has just taken place.
And they're the last two guys.
Right, they're literally down to, like, as soon as we kill these two guys, we'll have murdered this entire people.
It feels like when they're in, like, a real-time strategy game, one of those games where they're like, you have to kill every single mob or you can't win. And you're just going around the map like, where's this fucking mob?
Yeah. And so they managed to have a very cool-looking fight scene that sort of conveys the enormity of this battle on a very low budget, and I was very impressed with it.
Yeah, I really liked the traditional Viking hello of the headbutt.
Yes,
you got to get that in there.
Oh, of course.
And I just. Like, I can't catch normal objects that are thrown at me, so anytime somebody, like, throws an axe to another person to catch, I'm just like, this breaks my suspension of disbelief completely.
Oh, I have to run this by you, because I just did a week at the Sacramento Punchline, which was a great amount of fun.
Speaking of axes getting thrown at people.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I have an idea. When somebody tries to walk into the comedy club, what I want is somebody at the door to just... lob a tennis ball at their face. And here's the thing. Are you ready? As long as they are able to stop the tennis ball from hitting their face, they should be allowed into the comedy club as they are not too drunk to enjoy a comedy. Lobbed tennis ball just hits them in the face, they just can't get in.
First of all, that's very ableist. There are a lot of people who don't have the hand-eye coordination to knock a ball out.
No. I didn't say anything about hitting it or catching it. Shrugging out of the way is acceptable.
As long as they are able to dodge the ball.
Yes. If
you know,
if they catch it, they get a free drink. How about that?
That reminds me of something that my grandfather once told me. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
You're right. Maybe we should make
it
a wrench.
Wise man.
It's just something I'm working out. I'm talking to the punchline. I want a cut of the tennis balls that they buy. We'll see if that works out. There was a scene right at the beginning. So we have Rollo and Ragnar. By the way, the names in this are just tremendous. I don't know why I'm in the mood for it. Sometimes I like find names like this kind of obnoxious. They're historically apparently correct, but some great goddamn names.
I mean, listen, first of all, a lot of these characters are actual historical figures.
Which I did not realize.
That really freaked me out when I read that on the Wikipedia. I was, it was great because I was like, who are these characters? And I clicked on Lagertha, who is Ragnar's wife, and it was like, this is an actual historical character. And I was like, oh, fuck. These are real people. I can't keep reading this Wikipedia page because of spoilers.
Right. I hate that when history can spoil you.
Life is the ultimate spoiler.
Right. Oh, one thing I should have brought this up earlier, but I wanted to say is, like, we're doing this so late. Who is this possibly for? I mean, this is a show that has nowhere near Game of Thrones ratings. And so if you listen to us, you probably watch Game of Thrones. And this is just for people to find out if this is a show you should be watching that you've missed out on. And first off, the answer is yes.
Also, it is on Amazon Prime. So if you are a subscriber to Amazon Prime, which at this point, how are you fucking not? You can just watch all this shit for free.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
So let's go through this. How many of actually, you know what? I'll save the review of how many of the waves of Game of Thrones ripoffs have actually survived.
God.
Save that for the end of the show.
Okay, good, because I'm not going to be able to pull those up. I mean, I don't know. There's the Marco Polo. There's the Expanse.
Didn't survive.
No, wait.
One of the few shows Netflix has actually straight up canceled, Marco Polo.
Did they?
Yeah, they said, hey, we're canceling the show.
Well, so they already did 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Ain't doing no more.
Okay, so they stopped at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Plus 1 special? They did a special.
Yeah. Not so special.
Uh-uh. Okay. Okay. Vikings. Rah!
Yeah. So we end the battle with the traditional hugging out of bros.
There was a second where I thought he stabbed his brother for a second. Did you get that? Because
no, I was totally like, oh, they're definitely gonna hug after this.
Oh yeah.
Because listeners, I'm not sure if you're aware, me and Red end every podcast episode by embracing tearfully.
Yes, with bloodstained swords in our hand.
Exactly.
And so the battle ends, and this is Ragnar and Rollo. Who are brothers? Their parents
name a little bit of that R&R.
Parents name them with very nice alliteration. Mm-hmm. And we get all the crows rolling in as word gets out about the battle.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the crows are like, Hey guys, hey guys, can we eat? We can eat.
Yes, you can.
And we get the crow wizard.
The crow wizard. Odin?
Which is very interesting because I'm not sure whether or not this show is going to go full magical, or if he is just like Vikings tended to do back in the day, tripping hard off of shrooms.
Oh yeah, that's a very good question. But because he seemed pretty real,
it all seemed very real, especially when you know the Valkyries came down to drag people off into Valhalla. But at the same time, Vikings loved to roll balls off of fucking shrooms.
And listen.
As someone who's done shrooms, you can very equally either want to become part of the eternal love and oneness of the human race or chew someone's fucking face off. They're very easy for both of those to be options when you're tripping.
So I didn't realize that this is in Fury Road continuity.
It's very Fury Road. Everyone's got weird makeup. The technology is primitive at best.
I did see a 59 Cadillac, which looked pretty sweet. And the souls, yeah, but that being pulled off the battlefield up into Valhalla, yeah. So I would like to find out if they're tripping shrooms. That'd be great. The guy who plays Ragnar is the type of character Brad Pitt would normally play, but they just use the actual guy. That's how I feel about him. And we are in. So we cut from So they were raiding in Eastern Baltic is where we open in this battlefield, and so we sort of cut from there where. This Viking tribe, the name we don't really know, I guess, and cut from there to where they live in Scandinavia. And I was very relieved when they started speaking English, because during the battle, it was only subtitled. And so when they started speaking English, when they got back to Scandinavia, I was just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I was like, listen, I can't learn Swedish at this point in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a father, Ragnar, teaching his son, Bjorn, to sword fight, very reminiscent of how I imagine Michael Jordan playing one-on-one with his children and never, ever, ever letting up.
That's such a Michael Jordan thing. Honestly, I imagine Michael Jordan training his kids to play basketball by attacking them with a sword.
on to this day, because his kids played some college ball, but were not great. I bet neither of them have ever beat Michael Jordan at one-on-one basketball.
Oh no! And he's constantly trying to get them to play.
Yeah,
he's like, "Listen, I'll go easy on you this time." And they're like, "Listen, I'm not gonna fucking let you do it again to your dad."
I had a story for Ivan's Give Me Fiction that implied that Michael Jordan had killed his own father to pay off gambling debts. That is what Ivan is referencing.
Listen, Michael Jordan's probably one of the biggest athletes to hide how much of a truly disgusting person he is.
It's kind of genius.
Yeah,
like I'm really impressed.
He's really done a good job.
Yeah, I'm impressed by Michael Jordan as a PR example.
Yeah, because let me tell you, when that guy dies, you're gonna hear some stuff.
It's very possible. It's very probable. I don't think that one ever went up on your podcast. I should work on that again. But it was called Michael and Michael and Michael and Michael Have Issues.
Listen, it was very timely at the time.
All right. What do you think probably my least favorite part of this entire pilot episode is them referring to the gathering of the Viking tribe as the Thing.
Which is historically accurate.
Are you serious?
I was like, that's what they call Germanic assemblies. The Thing.
Wait, the whole time in my life that I've been saying, you're going to the Thing tomorrow, I was actually making a callback to Germanic assemblies where we determine people's life or death?
Yes, exactly.
I didn't realize honestly, I was making an analogy.
I know that you're very sensitive about your real name, but listen, with your origins, you probably should have caught that.
Should have come up. No. Listen, My origins go so far back into the state of Oregon that I'm worried my family has racist roots back there.
that's a very real thing to fear.
Yeah, no, that's I don't know.
If you ever want to have Portland ruined for you, just look up the history of Oregon.
Yeah, it's liberal. It's great.
No.
You go there now, and it's almost entirely white people, and I'm pretty sure that's because any black people who considered moving there read the Wikipedia page.
Exactly. It's pretty rough.
Oh, no. Oh, no, pigeons. So he's taking Bjorn to the Thing tomorrow, which is a historically accurate thing. And did you get the Silk Ribbon reference?
No, I have no idea what that's about.
I
assume that's another cultural Viking thing.
Yeah. And, well... So my favorite, his wife, Lagertha, man, Lagertha, says to him, don't sleep with a lot of women in Kattegat. And I enjoy that she doesn't say any. She's just like, keep the numbers respectable, one at a time. I don't want any overhead orgy shots happening. Frankly, we can't afford that on this network.
Listen, she's filling in for standards and practices. She's like, listen, I know that we can only have one sex scene in this episode, so don't go having too much fun.
So they're going to see the Earl. And again, in Viking society, as somebody who has learned more about Viking society in these 44 minutes than I had in the past 33 years, I was very shocked to discover that is his name Earl, or is he the Earl?
So... in this situation, would you say that you are asking if that character, his name is Earl?
Yes. That's exactly what's happening. Also, is Ethan Suplee going to be in this? Because I love that guy.
I think he'd fit in very well. By the way, at one point, Ragnar is like, yeah, I had this dream about you feeding me blood pudding, so I know that I love you.
Yeah.
And all of my dreams about women feeding me blood pudding... are about my subconscious desire to have women feed me blood pudding.
they're very direct.
It's pretty easy to interpret.
You can go to Carl Jung's Dream Dictionary and just look that right up. You would like her to feed you blood pudding.
It's like, wow, that's very simple.
And this is where we learn through the dialogue with Ragnar and his son Bjorn that Ragnar is not satisfied with his lush fucktopia. He wants more. He wants to go west.
Mm-hmm. Also, we got the first mention of Odin, which officially ties it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe continuity.
Oh, God
it's
damn it.
It's all canon,
God
guys.
Damn it.
All canon.
How many times does this happen to me where I'm like, oh, we're just going to watch this cool-looking show called Legion on FX. No!
It's in the MCU, baby!
We have a lady and a young girl. So this is Lagertha and Gaiden? Gaidy. Gaida? Gaida. Gaida. Gaida? I feel good about
Listen,
that.
I'm not here to read the IKEA catalog. All right, I'm here to watch Vikings kill each other.
I'm gonna come. Gaida, G-Y-D-A, Gida, 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 Gaida.
I'm still saying
Gaida. It's something.
I'm not here to read the IKEA catalog. So Lagertha, although I would like to put together a Higa.
So Lagertha and nobody eats meatballs in this whole thing. It's weird, but
it's crazy.
So Lagertha and her daughter are performing a young example of looming. This is the this is the Viking equivalent of now when they have Mad Men and everybody's smoking anywhere, everywhere.
Women looming? That's the smoking of the Dark Ages?
Back in the 8th century, it's just like, women be looming everywhere.
Women be looming.
Oh, and we have... two creepy...
rapist, I believe they're called.
Yes, certainly rapist. I was going to say attempted. I was like, what is?
Listen, I feel like this isn't their first try.
No. Certainly are. Okay, certainly rapists.
Yeah, I think that we can just go ahead and say that these two guys who walk into a lady's hut and are like, "Hey, we're going to rape you," are rapists.
Yeah, actually,
I don't think we need to put the alleged in this.
No. But yeah, actually, one of my. They literally just walk in with axes, and given how bad their dialogue is, I'm surprised they attempted it, frankly.
Honestly, this was the scene where I was like, listen, guys, I know that this is a fucking prestige basic cable drama, so you have to have the threat of rape and the subsequent thrashing of the rapist, but it's like, guys, fucking, I thought that we were past this. It is a few years ago. It is a few years back when Game of Thrones was like full like, hey, everybody, we're just going to have rape depicted in a very casual way all the time because we don't have any women on our writing staff.
And I do have to say, she very much defends herself, and it's a very fun thrashing.
Oh, yeah. Catherine Winnick is actually a trained martial artist.
Yeah, and those guys are actually dead.
Oh, if only.
Yeah, she had a great line. You couldn't kill me if you tried for 100 years. And like, as I was watching this, I hadn't realized up until this point that this whole show is an analogy for women on Twitter.
Men constantly threatening them and them using hot pokers to sear their faces off?
Yes. And
that'd be a very fun Twitter. Hot poker searing Twitter? I'd like to be on that.
And so after their faces have been burned off, we go back to Ragnar and Bjorn. And he tells us, I think I copied this down verbatim. So this is exactly what he says to his son. So anyway, I killed a bear. We fucked on that bear. And that's how your mom and I met.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, I killed a bear and a wolf and then I fucked. And it's like, yeah, I kill two animals all the time and no one's married me.
Yeah. You can tell that this society does not have Catholic origins because they are very, very casual about sex. There's like no guilt surrounding it at all.
You guys aren't ashamed of yourself and your bodies?
That doesn't mean
they truly were enlightened.
I can't relate to you as human people. And these Norwegians know how to talk. Rule number one, discuss only facts, never your feelings. That I love the scene where Bjorn asks his father a question and his father says, did we come here to talk or did we come here to drink?
Ah, that's a fun one. That's a fun one.
So Ragnar and Bjorn arrive at Earl's digs. It's a small village. It kind of looks like the before picture of Hardhome.
Yeah. This is actually the big city, technically.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, this is the Big Apple, technically.
Ah. Rollo greets Bjorn and Ragnar, and they drink that child under the table. They show him what's what.
Yeah, they start talking about the West and how the West has a new god. And I've actually figured out who that new god might be. Maybe it's Metreon. Maybe it's Orion. Maybe it's Forager. Maybe it's Big Barda. Maybe it's Oberon. Maybe it's Mantis. Maybe it's Darkseid. Maybe it's Kalibak. Maybe it's Desaad. Maybe it's... Fuck, I forgot the rest of the new gods.
I like to believe...
Haven't done that one in a while.
No, you haven't. I was going to say, before you go to sleep every night, do you list the old gods and the new?
Mostly just the new gods. I'm a big fan of those Jack Kirby characters.
I believe there's a way to go west. And then Rollo reaches under the table and says, yes, it's called the Thomas Guide. A wanderer told him...
So here we get... He breaks out a magical device that a traveler gave him, a sundial, which were the blackberries of the old world.
It is not a sundial. It's a sunboard, and it is a bizarre thing. It's a, like... It's more rudimentary than a compass... And, like, so, I mean, it does have a stick in the middle of it shows, but it's about the, like, distance it is from where you went. It's a bizarre device. I had to, like, stop it and prove to myself that what they were doing would actually work.
Did you craft a crude device out of available wood?
Yes, and by the seventh one, it actually worked. And I used it to figure out if I was going the correct direction across my apartment in complete blackness.
I'm glad you made it, buddy. And then
I'd never come across this, like, the sunstone, which I'm sure is a real thing, but it's just like got some lenses inside, I guess. I don't know how that works. But it focuses light.
Yeah, it lets you look at the sun, which is the most fun thing you could possibly do.
Right. Remember, always be looking at the sun. That's the number one thing we learned growing up as young Vikings.
Look, if looking at the sun wasn't fun, then we wouldn't be allowed to do it.
So the next day, we are at a human chicken performance.
This really reminded me how easy comedy used to be. It's like you just make a bunch of chicken noise and everyone's like, ha, he's telling it like it is.
We are all chickens, each and every one of us. It is hard. What my biggest difficulty watching this show is taking seriously a society that apparently believes strongly in headbands. It's the same reason I can't
watch... These people really...
Watch any show about athletes in the 1970s.
Yeah, these people really care about accessorization.
Yeah, in a way that you don't see in a lot of societies. It is, again, several hundred years before. It's such a rudimentary society. The women's outfits have no cleavage at all. I cannot believe that was historically accurate. Game of Thrones, 300 years later, they have much more advanced breast technology.
Listen, when I watch a historical show, I want to see some comely wenches, all right? Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just comely wench culture rising its head again. But still, I like those comely wenches.
For stealing, So they have a trial. What's the call? So they bring the grievances to the Lord, and he sentences them. And they're all such satisfying sentences. And I was like, we need to bring this back.
First of all, that's motherfucking Gabriel Byrne as the Earl, which that was like, oh shit, that's an actual movie star that they got for this History Channel show.
I recognized him, but that was Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah, fucking Miller's Crossing himself.
Yeah, I mean, he was great in The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, the man is a fantastic actor.
Wow, I mean... That hair was so long, I just assumed no serious actor would wear that wig.
Listen, you make so many weird fucking dramas in your life, sometimes you just want to wear a dumb wig and be like, yes, he's going to get shit thrown at him.
I mean, he's basically playing a young Walder Frey in this.
He truly is.
So for stealing, you will run a gauntlet of stones and turf. And while he's running the gauntlet... Everybody present will be fined if they fail to throw something.
This truly was the public shaming of its day.
Oh, that's literally exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And then this dude, Eric, is accused of murder. And... I
shouldn't have skipped that third house, boy!
Yeah, so... And you get to choose your manner of death. Which I would have
pretty civilized.
I know. I would have, I would have chosen death by exhaustion from running away.
Going death by snoo-snoo.
Death by air balloon.
Death by having too good a time.
Yeah, exactly. Death by you nutted, but she's still sucking.
Which is the leading cause of death in men ages 18 to 36.
All right. At this point, I'm like, why did we change anything? This society, they know how to not talk about emotions, and they're great at ridding themselves of problematic elements.
They truly have got it all figured out. Honestly, I think that we're the backwards culture.
I think so, too. I bet the Vikings had it perfect until the internet ruined everything.
The internet ruined the Vikings. The minute those Vikings found out about pornography, it was just like, why bother and go out and find some comely wenches?
So this,
the comely wenches come into our home electronically.
This guy, so the guy, we cut to the next day, and we have the guy running the Gauntlet of the Stones. And the one thing that I did think was, like, he's going to have CTE, like, which is just going to result in theft recidivism.
I'm just glad that he's getting plenty of roughage. Where are they finding all of this cabbage to throw at him?
I know. I do feel like in this sort of dark, agey time, like, we shouldn't be wasting what seems to be very fresh vegetables.
Honestly, it looked like a nice cabbage.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd fucking make some kimchi out of that.
Mm. And then from there, we go on to the beheading. And it's like, and the kid's like, why is he being so chill? And Ragnar explains he wants to die well, without fear.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting that they can't show the actual decapitation, but they can show the head and then the head being kicked into a crowd. I was like, basic cable standards are very strange.
I suspect it's actually just sort of a tough special effect.
That's fair, too.
As soon as I saw the head, I was like, oh, they just chose not to show that shot. Mm-hmm. If you can pull it off, it's pretty cool. And
if you can pull off the head?
Yes. Instead of chopping it, just... So the criminals, they just had so much more nobility back then. They were like,
yeah,
I don't want to make my family look bad. I'll just go get my head chopped off, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And then Gabriel Byrne is like, no, he doesn't get to go to Valhalla, and I get all of his lands. And just goes to show, governmental corruption, truly the oldest of all institutions.
Yeah. Turns out Lord Earl just wanted his lands.
He is Earl Haraldson. Earl is a title.
I was asking that earlier. You didn't answer. You just made a
his
joke.
His title is Earl?
You literally you made a joke about his name being Earl. I didn't tell me it was a title. Bjorn and the other kids snort some cocaine and earth off a sword to pledge fealty, and then they get partying.
this was crazy. I was like, wait, so you eat some salt and dirt off of a sword? How did somebody not adapt that for like a 5-star dinner somewhere?
Yeah, and it was also just so strange to see like somebody eat off of a sword without a sick guitar lick playing in the background. Like, it was just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and then they are presented with the traditional sparkly bangle.
It looks like some copper bangles that they put around their wrist, and then the lord's wife licks their stomach from the inside, like just goes right down the throat.
This is the best manhood ceremony. You tell me they get to kiss a girl and eat dirt?
Yeah. It's absolutely ideal.
That's every boy's fantasy.
This is how all of Megadeth's children are brought into manhood. It's the most metal bar mitzvah of all time. And then we get some low budget. They're trying to be very clear about which direction all of the Vikings are going to go. Hey, quick question. Are we going to be raiding, which direction would you say this year? And he's like, we will raid east again. Let me clarify. To the Eastlands.
And this is why you have to take your plans to management in private before you make a public stink.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to know the result of the challenge before you ask it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Ragnar makes an argument and then demurs, and that's where this story ends. This is the end of the Viking story.
He's just like, yeah, you know what? I'll be satisfied with my farm.
Right. And then it's like, oh, wait. Nope. Episode keeps going. Can I say, just pause. So, better than anything we have seen in the Game of Thrones food arena is the Viking boat trenchers.
Those ribs. Those fucking ribs. I was like, give me those fucking ribs. I want those fucking ribs right now.
Yeah, they had carved just like, I'm going to say like 6 feet long Viking boats to carry all. It was incredible.
That was just like, that was just some Flintstones ass fucking rib portioning. I was just like, I just want one. I just want one.
We have Earl and Ragnar have a little private chat. And Lord Earl pulls a down low too slow with his food. He's like, hey, you want some of this food? No food for you. Not people who mock me in my own hall. And he's,
yeah, you can't mock Gabriel Byrne in his own hall. And listen, he's going to bring that House Carl out on you. Did you notice that guy's name is House Carl?
No, it's House Carl.
There is a guy who's, I don't know if it was a name or a title, but it was House Carl. And I was like, you know what? This is truly a more civilized age, back when every house had a Carl of its own.
I like to imagine that the term house call is actually unrelated to telephones, and it's just a bastardization of the House Carl, which would go door to door.
Every house would have its own Carl who is versed in medicine and food.
Right. You know, House Carls.
House Carl.
So he pulls a download too slow with his food, and he's like, hey, just real quick heads up, fall in line or I'll take your land.
That was the classic threat back in the olden days. It was like, yeah, land is the only thing people have.
Yeah, land, battle, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much axes, food that's being taken from you in a download.
Comely wenches.
It's not a lot of things. No Xboxes.
No. The comely wench was the Xbox of her day.
All right, these. So, later that night, we have sort of Earl, Lord Earl, going, where are my sons? You said you'd found them. And then they're chopped up in a pit. He has woken up from a nightmare where his sons have been killed. And we don't see his sons, so I believe that is a memory as opposed to a...
I'm pretty sure that was a flashback, which is I don't like when shows do flashbacks as dreams, because I've never had a flashback dream.
No.
At best, I have a weird interpolation of my dumb concerns and fears about relationships.
Right.
But I've never had, like, hey, here's an actual flashback.
Right. If that had been a dream, they would have come back to life, reassembled, and become comely wenches, and then he would have had sex with them.
That's exactly what happens in all my dreams. Also, insult to injury, they put the son's heads directly on their assholes.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I was like,
that.
Wow, that is. That, oh, I noticed that. I was like, wait, why are those heads positioned? Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's direct contact. I think you might want to brush your teeth, guys.
They died from extreme pink eye.
Extreme trombone.
Ragnar and Bjorn go to talk to the gods. I have no idea what the history is between this ancient seer, but it's one of the more disturbing versions of this I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah. This guy is... This is exactly what happens when you eat too many shrooms.
His like eyes are just completely fleshed over, or like caked over with some sort of makeup. So he's either blind or wearing some sort of eye covering.
I would say that he is a blind, gross monster person.
Right. That does seem... Accusing me of being ableist.
Listen, I'm not saying that all blind people are gross monster people. Some of them are daredevil.
Some of them are daredevil. And
listen, we all know that there are only two kinds of blind people. Gross monsters and daredevils.
who are, you know, surprisingly amusing given the universe they were born into.
Another thing I really like about the show is that everybody gets to pick their own accent. There's very little uniformity among the accents. It's just like, all right, guys, if you've got your own accent, so go with that. Everybody else, pick a good one.
Yeah, I do like that they're... I mean, I'm really enjoying hearing a sort of what looks like a medieval era period piece that doesn't have English accents, variations on English accents. Like, just their weird Scandinavian accents are fun. It's different.
It really is. Because generally, anytime you get, when you get all these medieval shows, they are generally set in England, or they will just straight up have everybody having an English accent. And on fantasy shows, for some reason, England is the only permissible accent in fantasy shows where England doesn't exist. And it's very strange.
And it really does give it its own separate, unique tone to have all these people with this different accent. Mm-hmm. And then, as you say, within that, everyone also has a slightly different version of that accent. Sometimes, drastically different version of that accent.
Listen, I believe that the accent meeting went, everybody just go have fun with it.
So they talk to the gods, and I love the moment that the parenting is just wonderful. And he's like, are you more interested in your son's future? And he's like, no, I'm here to talk about me. Like, it doesn't even occur to him to be like, you know what? While we're here, like, he's just, I want to know about me. Frankly, this guy's a burden.
I also like how the seer is just really vague about certain things. He's just like, yeah, you can take the law into your hands if you want, I guess. I'm not saying do or don't. I'm just saying. Yeah,
you must convince the gods to alter the runes, which I thought is a cool way to put it. Mm. And perhaps you asked the wrong questions. And the exact moment where I was 100% certain I could not survive in this society is when he tried to have his future told by licking the palm of this man who has never showered and then shoving his forehead against it.
I believe that at the time, showers had literally not been invented.
Yes. It wasn't an option.
No. You're like, maybe you can have a bath if you're lucky.
Right. If you're rich enough to have carved a convex surface out of a stone. Those are the only options. I don't even know what the state of metal is. I guess they have swords, so they probably have steel.
I would assume that they have blacksmithery.
Sure, yeah, that sounds right. I think blacksmithery goes back pretty far. Don't know the years on this. I know for a while we had a listener who was a sword maker as a hobby. So maybe he'll hit us up with details on that on Twitter at @_swords.
I'm going to say that goes upwards of 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds right. But sure. So Ragnar and Bjorn go to see Floki.
Yeah, who is the brother to Thor.
Thor, is that what you said?
Yes.
So he is like Loki, but not a god. I would describe him as fake Loki.
When he appeared, I was like, oh shit, it's the mask from The Mask.
Yeah, he is actually wearing a mask. I forgot about that. And it does look like that mask a lot. Wow.
And it was Loki's mask in the movie.
Wow, I never put that together. I haven't seen The Mask since it was age appropriate, so 7.
Listen, I have to celebrate one of the great depictions of Cuban culture.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's all we had at the time.
I forgot about that.
Cuban Pete or nothing.
I'm just putting that together.
Cuban King Pete's. Of the Rumba Beat.
It was a catchy song.
It really was.
That was the scene that actually had him devolve into a cartoon wolf that howled. I forgot about that.
That truly... I don't think that there is anything more classic than seeing a pretty lady and having the cartoon wolf head.
Especially in a live-action movie. It's the classiest movie you can possibly make.
It truly is.
It's more binding than a proposal. So Loki is not a god. He is a boat builder, mm-hmm. and is able to look inside both trees and people. And he just takes this chance to condemn Bjorn and Ragnar to a standard father and son relationship. Well, I believe the word he says is You will do great things, and your father will hate you for it.
Standard father and son relationship.
Exactly. Talking about choices made along with acting, I really want to know whose idea it was for Floki to walk around like an ape, which I don't think any human has ever chosen to do. Unless, no, I'm pretty sure that was just a bizarre choice on his behalf, and nobody wanted to stop him. It's like, he's a Skarsgård. Let him do what he wants.
Wait, is he a Skarsgård too?
Yeah.
Is he one of the Skarsgård brothers?
I don't know.
Oh my god, how many Skarsgårds are in this fucking show?
Gustav Skarsgård.
No, Gustav Skarsgård is the lead guy.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at the for the first, Ragnar Lothbrok is played by Travis Flimmel.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Wait, so I had it wrong.
It's possible. Gustav Skarsgård.
Oh, Gustav Skarsgård is Floki.
Yes. That's what I said.
Yeah. Listen, I will admit that for the first time in the history of the podcast, I was the one who made the mistake.
Let's see. So we have Travis Fimmel. Are there Fimmel brothers as well? No, just him. Just him.
God, I can't believe there's so many Skarsgårds and I got it wrong.
Yeah, it's like trying to hit the broadside of a barn.
Broadside of a Skarsgård.
So Floki is a boat builder, and he's building a fancy new boat. It's sort of a retelling of Halt and Catch Fire. It's like about a startup. They're trying to invent a new technology that's going to change the world. Floki is sort of Ragnar is sort of this.
Is he the Scoop McNary?
No.
Is Floki the Scoop McNary of the show?
Well, I was going to compare it to Apple, where Ragnar is sort of
Floki the Wozniak?
Yes. Floki's the Wozniak. Ragnar's the Jobs. And that's how I see this story going.
It truly is.
Yeah.
I really like when Floki is like figuring out the tree's destiny, and he's like, they will bend and curve like a woman's body, and then you can have sex with them. The best thing you can do with a boat.
And yeah, so this is the early part of Steve Jobs' career where he's still doing LSD. You can move some facts around, but that's basically what's happening.
What another awful person.
So, no, Wozniak was fine.
I'm talking about Jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's terrible. We've covered that.
Some people called him the Michael Jordan of the computing world.
Yes, and that was very accurate.
Man, it really was.
People don't talk about his gambling problem.
He had a... Oh.
You were so excited.
Wouldn't have surprised me. So exciting. He was a piece of shit.
No, he would have had to acknowledge sports for that to happen. He just thinks about himself in his free time. Right. This boat is... a boat with a sail? It's crazy. It's like anchored differently. They say a lot of boat stuff that sounds real enough to me, is how I'd put it.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm no boatsmith. I'm just going to go along with whatever they say.
Is there like a fancy word that means boatmaker?
I have
just like a,
no idea.
Just once in a while where they're like, he's a cognor. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's like a person who makes boats. How would you not know that word? It's like how a person who makes shoes is a cobbler. And it's like, nobody's going to make that connection.
Oh, you're saying that people didn't watch the Adam Sandler film, The Cobbler, directed by the guy who went on to direct Spotlight?
Nobody has watched the movie, The Cobbler, directed by the guy who went to direct on Spotlight. Also, I know I've mentioned this before, but the guy who went to direct Spotlight starred as a guy in a newsroom in The Wire. You're going to run into him. I'm not going to say which season. You're watching the Wire, right?
I am watching The Wire. I got, I believe I am on the fourth episode now. Don't tell me anything. I haven't started it yet.
Finish the fourth episode. Watch.
All right.
I guarantee after you watch the fourth episode, you're going to be like, well, I clearly need to watch the rest of these right now. Okay. So he walks like an ape. Covered that already, but yeah, so they're like, we've got this secret boat. He gives them a piece of somebody's soul for the anchor. I don't know what's in that bag.
I believe it was gold.
Oh, gold for the anchor.
Yeah,
oh,
he's it was just gold so he could buy an anchor.
Oh, he's just paying him for the anchor. I thought
he was like, hey, go out and buy yourself something nice.
No, I thought it was like you. It just felt like a tradition, like you have, you know, the sword of your fallen enemy, and you put that in the anchor, and it's like, may this be go down like my enemy did when I killed him. I don't know.
No, it was an even more bloody thing, capitalism.
All right, so they head back home after the thing is completed.
The thing, after Benjamin Grimm is completed.
Did anything happen while we were away? And we have that where she considers whether or not to tell them, and it's like, I can't have them murdering the entire village again.
I can't have these men worrying about the possible sexual assault I almost suffered.
The constant threat of sexual assault anytime they leave. You might want to bring that up if you're planning on, I don't know, crossing an ocean and never coming back. Never coming back.
Never.
So she says no now. But man, if you check out the All Women Viking Facebook group, you would hear a different story. I'm just saying. It's not meant for these members of the community, but words out.
Oh, do the Vikings have their own list too?
Yeah, for sure. Look out for the guy who has been seared on the side of his face with an iron. That was me.
Oh, if only it was that obvious.
It could be. Just start passing out hot irons.
You know what? I do think that more women need to be carrying hot pokers with them at all times.
They are heavy, and it's hard to keep in mind. I get why it's a hassle. I'm not judging. I'm not trying to put something on them.
Ladies, I'm not trying to hot poker shame you, but yes. Still, come on.
So Rolo, and then after this story, they decide to have the hottest kind of intercourse, fully clothed sex. She's literally wearing like a
basic cable sex,
an ankle length dress that is tucked under her. So I don't really know what's going on here.
I was like, wait, are they just rubbing two burlap bags together?
Pretty much. Yeah, a lot of chafing apparently back in Viking era. You had to back then. I didn't realize you just had to keep rubbing your junk together until you'd penetrated all the layers of clothing or soaked through.
Exactly. That's how they have to do it in very cold climates.
It's their form of birth control. So outside, Rolo, that's Ragnar's brother, finds Bjorn and says, "Where are your parents?" And he covers for them. It says, "Yeah, having like, sex."
They're having sex, and Rolo's like, "Well, let's go watch, shall we?"
And they do. They go to the standard viewing platform that's in every Viking household, and you shout out suggestions, as is the standard of the time. So Ragnar and Rolo have the conversation about, you know, going west, which is, I always have a problem with this in hour-long dramas, because it's like, We all know you're going west. Stop. Just get over. Cut ahead. Wait. I want to see the shoreline receding behind you. That should be the start of the show.
Exactly. It's like, guys, when are you going to get to the Going West factory?
Exactly. I won't go under your command. I won't go unless we're all equal. And he said, we're brothers. So, of course, we'll always kill each other. And of course, Ragnar's brother is super into his wife. So he has to be.
And this is how it all falls apart.
Listen, I have a sibling, and I have never once come onto my sibling's partner. I don't understand.
To be fair, I do believe that your sibling is a sister.
So? I don't. Yeah, you don't know what all of our sexualities are. I've never discussed that on this podcast. We're straight. We're all straight.
You know, Red, I have always assumed that you were just completely smooth down there.
It's the only way to be sure. I went there when I was 13, and I said, I want to be sure.
You were like, listen, I know that a vasectomy can be reversed. I don't want the option.
It makes pants much more comfortable.
they just got out a little guillotine.
That's how they do it. They had to order it from Utah, where the operation is standard. And so, of course, we have that gross storyline. Ragnar sees a crow and Odin in the distance and comes back in and he's like, guys, I'm doing the right thing.
Oh, you know what? That does make sense that it's Odin.
Yeah, I think he calls him Odin several times, right?
Oh, the whole time I was just like, wow, that's some fucking weird raven wizard.
No, it's Odin, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense now.
Who also is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm sure.
Played by Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, no, it's not.
You don't know that? It is one of the laziest fucking cashing a check performances I've ever seen. I don't know if I've... I believe I've brought this up on the podcast, but one of my favorite lines in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, somebody just asks... I believe Loki is just like, hey, Odin, why don't we... And Anthony Hopkins just goes, brr!
That's amazing.
It is perfect.
Does he leave the show traveling west?
He does literally go to sleep for most of the second movie.
Ah, the Bernie Mac.
Oh, he went to sleep for the rest of his life.
I was actually referring to Ocean's 12, where he was just in the beginning and then showed up at the end and was like, hey guys, my schedule didn't conflict with the filming of this movie.
Listen, he had to film Mr. 3000 sometime.
I mean, did he? Did he? I hope he got paid for that. So he sees the crow Odin in the distance. Ragnar, Rollo, and Floki go out to test their new Apple II. No, it's a boat. They go to test out the boat. And Floki's having last-minute doubts. He's like, listen, guys, I never got a degree in boat making. I've kind of been winging it. This isn't going to work. Don't do it. I can't swim. He starts panicking all at the last minute. And White Omar sees them testing the boat out.
White Omar. Yeah. Yep. He sees them testing the boat out, and then we get the cliffhanger. Will Gabriel Byrne smile? He won't.
He won't smile. It's not much of a cliffhanger.
He really won't.
Dude, these boats are so... I've seen some of them in person that have been dug up. They're so small. The idea that they crossed an ocean in these... It's just, and they're completely open. There's only one level. I just don't get it.
Yeah, listen, you take some dried jerky, you fucking distill some water before you go, and you're good.
And not only that, but they're completely exposed. There's not even like, and these people are all kinds of pale that we haven't even discovered.
Red, I don't want to spoil things for you. But the Viking civilization doesn't exactly meet a happy end.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. No, I thought they went and like made it all the way to Canada and founded hockey.
By the way, have you seen Goon?
People keep telling me to see it, but I have not seen it.
You really should watch that movie. You'd love it a lot.
Is there a lot of people dying of sunburns?
No, it was a very small amount of redheads, if any.
Exposure. Oh, sounds terrible. All right. And I think that does it for the first episode of Viking.
And now we get to what I really wanted to get to. The Game of Thrones first generation ripoff countdown.
Oh!
So, okay. How many of those fucking shows
did
they make in the aftermath of Game of Thrones hitting it big? Because I know that we had this, which I think is one of the few real success stories.
Okay.
There was... MTV had the Shannara Chronicles, which bombed terribly.
Right.
CW has Reign, which is one of those CW shows that I'm like, why is this still on? I never hear anybody talking about it at all, but it's still on.
Uh-huh.
What are the other ones?
The Tudors? There was I don't know. There's The Expanse.
Yeah.
There's Marco Polo.
Marco fucking Polo. That's a decent one that fucking failed. There was that... There were people who were trying to do we're not going to do a medieval fantasy show, but we are ripping off Game of Thrones' level of sex and violence.
Right.
And there was that dumb Ian McShane show that was supposed to be like, it's Game of Thrones, but like it's modern day. And they're like, it's like a religious kingdom battling itself. It's like, fuck it, this is stupid.
There's also, House of Cards kind of feels like it was partially informed by Game of Thrones, which is sort of actually Game of Thrones in the modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of which ones of those have been successful. I mean, this is probably
I feel like it's Vikings is definitely the most successful, and then I fucking Reign is still on. Yeah. So
There's also Black Sails, which is another show that people tried to get us to watch that now I'm thinking we should have watched.
I think that we haven't picked what next week's show is going to be, so...
There could be some sales.
Peak television.
Maybe they'll be black.
They might be black. And that's a lot more black sales than black people in this show we watched.
Yeah, this certainly is the case.
Oof.
Well, there's also... It was based off a book. Wolf Hall. Wolf Hall feels Game of Thronesy.
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Ah, okay. I mean, it's a story about the politicking and sex and, you know, a couple hundred years ago.
And you know what's really Game of Thronesy?
Hmm.
The Crown.
The Crown is the most Game of Thronesy.
Oh, man. When she had Winston Churchill decapitated, that was crazy. I didn't expect it.
Yeah. What if the monarchy was inbred and ineffectual? It's possibly the most realistic one we've come into so far.
Truly is. All right, I think that's it.
And I think that about does it for Vikings, which I'm definitely going to be watching.
Yeah, we both got Amazon Prime, so there's really nothing stopping us.
So yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Boys Gore Swords. You can find us on Facebook, just search for Boys Gore and Swords. You can find Ivan on Twitter at Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find us on Patreon if you want to give us some money in order for some bonus content and bonus episodes and whatnot. Patreon.com/BoarsGoreSwords? Or is it Boars Gore and Swords on Patreon?
It is Patreon.com/BoarsGoreSwords. The link is always in the show notes in every episode. I mean, we have a ton of bonus content. We've got the Suicide Squad up there. We've got our Young Pope episode. We've got a ton of great British Bake Off. We covered the whole last series and also the Christmas episodes. Yuri on Ice. The Bunker Politics. Well, sometimes if we're working on another idea, we'll try it out on Boars Gore and Swords. So that's where that started. Just a ton of stuff. A ton of content.
Yeah.
And you get a private podcast link so you can listen to it in your favorite podcaster. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And you can find Red on Twitter at Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.